What is an advantage of 5G is that it's developed as a mobile communication network, so that the devices are mobile. It's originated in the 5G system or the mobile communication system. This is different to Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi was not designed for fast-moving objects. And if you look on, especially on supply chains, you have most time moving objects, sometimes very fast-moving objects.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, the number one podcast focusing on the digitization of supply chain. And I'm your host, Global Vice President at SAP, Tom Raftery. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Raftery with SAP. And with me on the show today, I have my special guest, Karin. Karin, welcome to the podcast. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, thank you, Tom. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Some words about myself. I'm Karin Leudl, working at Fraunhofer IS as a technology advisor in the area of wireless networks and positioning. And I'm also an NSSA1 delegate to the 3GPP, so where we collect and bring in all the requirements on the 5G system.
So, Karin, for people who might be unaware, can you tell us about the Fraunhofer Institute?
Yes, so the Fraunhofer Institute, ISS, I'm working for, is the biggest Fraunhofer Institute in the whole organization, so the Fraunhofer Gesellschaft, and this is the worldwide biggest applied research organization. So we are around 30,000 employees, and we are really doing applied research, I think, in each area you can think about. And our institute is in Baerberg and Fraun, in our division, is focusing really on networks, on positioning like GPS, but also about 5G, local area networks, all of that stuff. So it's a very high-tech organization working for companies and also for the states. Yeah.
Okay, superb. And 5G, we've heard a lot about. It's starting to be rolled out now. If I take a look at my phone here, I can see it's got a 5G logo on it, so it is connected to a local 5G network. But this is the supply chain podcast, so what relevance does 5G have for supply chains? Or maybe start by just giving us a little bit about 5G itself, what it is, and then we can talk about its applicability for supply chains.
Yeah. I think if I think about a supply chain, one word before is it's really about transparency. So 5G is enabling technology in my view on the supply chain. If we look on 5G itself, like you said, on your phone, you have 5G logo. So this means you have the first generation of 5G available. It's normally release 15 or 16, which is in the rollout. So this 5G itself is done in many releases. So within the standardization, we're currently working on the release 17, 18, and 19. And this is also becoming the very interesting releases because they are focusing on all this industrial application, also on supply chain applications. So 5G is also one of the first generations where really the industry brought in their requirement directly in the standardization. So especially we have really had use cases on supply chain, like IoT devices going worldwide on containers. How long have they to survive with a battery? How high has to be the accuracy of this positioning on such an IoT device? So this will become very interesting, especially for supply chain people, to have 5G within the next years in use.
Okay. And you said we're on release about 15 at the moment, and You're currently working on, I think you said 17, 18, 19.
Yeah.
What, and I assume there will be further and further releases over the coming years, what improvements, I assume it's improvements, you're hardly disimproving it as we go along. What improvements are you building into the standards as we go from release 15 to 19 to 29 to 59, whatever it is?
Yeah. I think what is well known also to the public is this enhanced mobile broadband, so that we have an increased data rate. But what is for the professional users more important is that we have this massive machine time communication, so that we have really an increased number of IoT devices we can connect to the network. So it's 1 million devices in 1 square kilometer. So this is really improvement. Another thing is this ultra-reliable low-latency communication, so that you really have a reliable network, a reliable communication. And also in some cases, if you speak alike about autonomous driving, this low latency. So also if you think about robots and all that things. So these are two parts which are coming with the releases 17 and 18. And also the positioning I mentioned before. Like if you have intralogistic processes, you have no GPS available, it's very important to have also in your company, in your on the back manufacturing side, really a clear overview, where are your goods, where are your parts? And this can be also handled in 2-3 years by 5G.
Oh, wow. And will that work for indoor positioning as well as outdoor?
It can be done also outdoor, but although there is GPS available. So this is something where I would say use GPS if it is available, but 5G can also handle it with a low accuracy around 10 meter and 15 meter. It's better than in the past, but in the indoor, it really becomes interesting because we are reaching this area. We have done many projects together with car manufacturers, with healthcare sites, this 20 to 30 centimeters, which is so the target for high accuracy, especially also for logistic processes, to really know, is there something on the production side, especially on displays where I need it? And this is what we're targeting for the release 18. But still, we have with the first, I think, release 17, this 1 meter accuracy, which is still a very good accuracy for indoor and really helps in many processes.
Fantastic. And what's the kind of timeline for those releases, 17 and 18 and 19, that you talked about?
Yeah. It's a little bit delayed to the pandemic situation, all of that. Normally, if we work in the standardization, it takes one and a half year to add it to have a commercially available. If we look, I would say, on the release 17, which will be the first industrial, real industrial release, which has all these features like the high accurate positioning on board, 25 and further. So we have first tries, I think, 24. But I think 25, there will be a wider rollout of this release.
And to get access to this, you know, if I have a factory and I want to roll out version 17 on my factory floor so that I've got the indoor positioning and stuff, what do I have to do to roll it out?
There are different ways to get 5G on your factory side. The one is you can use the public network. Then if it's available, you depend on the release, which is in the public network available. And another thing is that you can build up your own private campus, non-public networks. There are different words on the market for the same thing. This also, beside that, you normally have a chance to influence what features are on board in this network, is that the security is on a higher level because you really take care which can use the network, which one can use the network, or which device can use the network or not. So these are the two ways, use the public network or slice in the public network or build up your own private campus network. And especially if it is on cases like ultra-reliable or latency communication or high-precise positioning, your own networks will bring more features or higher features in this area because you really can design it on this target to have this low latency communication, for example.
Okay. And then if I have that on version 17, if I want to upgrade to version 18 a few years later, does that mean for my private network, I have to buy a whole new set of equipment?
So normally, you can upgrade the systems. It's depending on your supplier, how many upgrades you can do. Right. I think it's the same, you know it from other software. And it's also as 5G system depends on the software and on the hardware. So if there's a switch in the frequencies, you have to change the hardware because the hardware cannot only handle a special way of frequencies because it depends on the hardware. What's also interesting, I think it's ongoing, is this Open RAN development. So it's that you have these defined interfaces so that you really can bring in equipment from different suppliers. This also will a little bit change the market within the next years. And especially as we have this bringing together of OT and IT on manufacturing side, on other sides, this will also help because it's a little bit more IT conformal, I would say, than it is in the past, where the 5G or all these mobile communication systems are really for the communication experts.
Okay, Suburban. You mentioned a device density of about a million devices per square kilometer and low latency. What would that be useful for? Can you give me some kind of use cases that might, you know, benefit?
Yeah, I think I've mentioned it before. I'm not sure if this transparency that you need in the supply chain. It's nice. If you have chemical sites, so where really we have high value goods, very sensitive to misuse, handling it in the wrong way, having the wrong things beside each other standing, there you have a really high density of IoT devices which will send you data, temperature, which is the nearby goods standing on the site, which is perhaps not allowed. And then if you also see it, you have perhaps your IoT devices on your goods, on your products. You have IoT devices people carrying around with them. You have autonomous car. You have drones. And then you see it's coming more and more devices in a specific area, and this has to be handled by the system. And therefore, this increase of number of devices which can be handled is very helpful.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. So you reckon that in a couple of years' time, pretty much all devices that are using IoT, whether it's drones, whether it's sensors on manufacturing machines or things like that, they should all be using 5G because of the low latency and the high density of sensors that can do that within a certain area.
We'll be right back.
Elevate your brand with the Sustainable Supply Chain Podcast, the exclusive voice in supply chain sustainability. Last year, this podcast's episode were downloaded 113,000 times by senior executives across the world, with listeners concentrated in the EU, North America, and Asia. Become a sponsor. Lead the conversation. Contact me for sponsorship opportunities and turn downloads into dialogues. Act today. Influence the future.
I'm not sure if they all have to use it, but I think it will be very helpful, because in the past, over the past 10, 15 years, I've had many projects, also the area of supply chains. And the problems are the same, but the solutions have changed. And in the past, there were a specific solution for a specific problem. And this also made it a problematic situation to have a low-cost solution, because it was specific for this problem. It has a not high amount of devices using it. And I think with 5G, also we have this, that is a multi-purpose technology. You can use it in many use cases for different applications. This, I think, will bring low-cost devices also within 5G. So I'm not sure if everybody has to use 5G, but I think it will become a technology which can be used in many use cases. And perhaps it will become, from the use case, also a business case. I think this is normal to step with a new technology. You have many ideas. You try it. It works fine. But then it has also to work on the financial side of the project. And also, if I'm more in research, I'm more interested on the technical part, I also know the business part also have to work so that this technology, which is nice if you look on the feature, also runs in the reality on a price level which is acceptable for the market. Yeah, so I think this is one part also to think about.
Okay. And if I have a manufacturing site that I want to connect up to devices and get information from sensors, what's the advantage of using 5G over, for example, Wi-Fi 6? The Wi-Fi 6, the latest standard in Wi-Fi, very high throughput, very low latency, very high number of devices as well. Why would I go for one over the other?
Yeah, I work in both areas, Wi-Fi and 5G. So I'm not the one saying this is the best and this is the best and this is good and this is not good. Both have their advantages. If I compare them, it's really for if I look from the use case on the technology. And what is an advantage of 5G is that it's developed as a mobile communication network, so that the devices are mobile. It's originated in the 5G system or the mobile communication system. This is different to Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi was not designed for fast-moving objects. And if you look on, especially on supply chains, you have most time moving objects, sometimes very fast-moving objects. There is really a problem with Wi-Fi in this case. Then 5G really, or mobile communication networks, have really advantaged above Wi-Fi. But if you don't have this high level of requirements, if you say only need a little bit of data transmission from non-moving object or only my tablet where I stand in a production, I think Wi-Fi is fine. We have also in our own testbed, we have here running one of the biggest Open RAN 5G testbeds. We have also Wi-Fi 6 built in, so it's really open that you use both technology. Also, if you have in most installations, you have 5G still installed. And you have here to look, can I combine both systems? So there is not only Wi-Fi or only 5G. Okay. Sometimes you combine it. That you have areas where you use 5G for the whole area, you can use 5G also for the outdoor area. And you have to think about that you have a complete connection, not only in the factory, also outside the factory, because it's a global network. And there are more and more roaming contracts, so you really can follow your object over the whole world. And then you also have this updated or more increased accuracy or latency if the object is on your production site, in your clinic, what you can think. Also special areas, also the ports.
Right.
So this came up over the last 2-3 years. They were one of the first users of 5G, but now they're really getting active because they really see this big advantage, because this is also an area where you have many obstacles. You have sometimes no connection to GPF. Wi-Fi cannot, they're really fast, the autonomous the trucks and all on this area. And we have one first project in the north of Germany, one big airport, one big port. And especially the positioning is also their key feature within 5G, besides this low latency and high data throughput. And this, I mentioned airports before.
Yeah.
It's the same. Airports is the same. You have all this cargo, flight cargo.
Yeah.
And also to track these things and also to track it with a higher accuracy and a lower latency if they're on the airport field. You can detect if there's an intrusion, something like that. And this is what I mentioned before with this multi-purpose technology. We have had hundreds of use cases during the standardization of what 5G should handle. And it was all work to break it down to technical features. This was the interest that you start with hundreds of use cases.
Uh-huh.
And at the end, there are 20, 30 features. But if you have the features on the network and in the 5G, you can bring it up to these hundreds of use cases. This is what I mentioned. So you can step from the port to the airport, to the manufacturing site, to a container on a ship. Then it has different needs. But like this example on a ship, there's a work item within 5G that you have side-to-side communication, as a link to side link communication. So from device to device with not a connection to network. And you know it from containers. Sometimes you lose one or you can track the last one on the bottom of the ship because only the top one has a connection. And these are also use cases where you can connect all these containers by the side link communication.
It's like a peer-to-peer network.
Yeah. And this is also with the coming releases within 5G. It was started mainly by the automotive sector for the autonomous driving, that cars can connect themselves and transfer data. But this is also an application, each is the same, but it also can be used to connect the containers. And yeah, so this is this,
wow.
There's many applications which are possible with one technology.
Fascinating. And I mean, we've talked about shipping and planes and the factories. On the factory floor, I assume the indoor positioning could be used for things like safety, worker safety as well. Would that be a good use case?
Yeah, this is a real use case where there's a high pressure to realize it on this floor. The factory also on building sites that you really detect is a human inside the danger area of a machine. If you're an autonomous object, they have many sensors on board.
Yeah.
But with 5G, you can do outside the sensors, really say there can become a situation which can become dangerous.
Right.
Also, if the sensors don't say there is a human in front of you, so you can really look some minutes in front of a situation before it happens. If it happens, also the sensors on board will help you. So this security is a request we every time get from the market, and I see the first projects using also 5G together with positioning, but also this side link communication and this overall communication to have this future view what can happen if you have all this information.
So in the prep call, you mentioned, Karin, that there are possible uses of 5G in the healthcare sector as well. Could you elaborate on some of those?
Yes. In the healthcare sector, if you know hospital, there are many logistic processes going on. It's medical devices who have to walk from one room to another. You have to look for them. You have to find them. The next thing is the blood bags, that they're on the right way to the right patient in the right temperature. So this is really where you have these IoT devices on board to track the transparency of the whole transportation from the temperature side, but also from the location side. And also medical transport within the clinic is something we really... They trust, and this is very well organized, but to have this additional information via 5G network and an IT device really helps.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were talking about 5G, but, you know, 10 years ago, we'd have been talking about 4G. So I assume there's a 6G and probably a 7, 8 and 9G coming in the coming decades. What should we expect from 6G that we don't have in 5G?
At first, you're right with this development. So I will work on 6G beginning with next year. So What we expect is first the higher frequencies. So we will go in the terahertz area, or at least a little bit lower than terahertz. But this means a special part we are working on is sensing, so that you not only have the transmission of data via the network, so that the network itself also senses a surface or something like this, so that you really can say there is a human in front of me and not a wall.
Right.
This is information which you can get by these higher frequency transmissions, and it's higher data throughput, all of that. But what is interesting is that also the mindset is a little bit different. So with 5G, it was really on the industrial usage, really the professional usage of 5G for mobile communication. 6G is going really in the direction of the humans. So how can the mobile communication support humans? And like we mentioned before, for security, also perhaps for health issues. We have had, 20 years ago, all this body area network discussions. Mm-hmm. And I think with 6G and this short range communication, which will also come with 6G, but high data rates, perhaps body area networks will come back and we get all these supportive devices nearer to our body and which help us in health issues. And also there will be very nice work on, I like this work, metaverse, but this is still a little bit also 5G, but also to have a really nice visuals of people so that you don't have to travel that much in the current situation. Yeah, I think it's very human-centric, the development on 6G, and we really have to target to see how can the mobile communications support human.
Fantastic.
Also in their work life.
Fantastic. Sounds really interesting. I can't wait. What kind of time frame are we looking at for 6G, just as a matter of interest?
Yeah, I think our first installation, I think we will see 28, 29, but this is research. So it's really to show what it can tell. I think commercial rollouts, 2030, 2031. So this is a little bit of time frame. And I also had a discussion, there's 6G, we can stop 5G. No. No, this is also, we have with 4G and 5G. They work together. Also, if you, like you said it on your mobile phone, if you have 5G on the radio, don't mean that the network isn't 4G.
Yeah.
So this is the same you will see with 6G. 6G is a high frequency, so we have smaller clusters. So we will have, I think, my prediction, 6G clusters within a 5G network, like we have now 5G cluster in a 4G network.
Right.
So it's an ongoing process with new features, also increased new features is something that was not possible before, but also that the performance itself will become better. And we have had a nice discussion last week. Do we every time need to assist with more performances? Yes. This discussion is every time the same because we at the moment cannot predict what are the requirements in the future, but never the requirements decreased.
Yeah.
They every time increased. And there will be also more look on sustainability, on power consumption. This is also becoming more and more important in the work on 5G. We've had one part I worked also on to make all this positioning on a low power way, so that we really use or we can run systems up to 10 years on IoT device. And within 6G, there is a higher demand on sustainability. We really looked at the power consumption of the hardware, of the system itself, of the communication is really reduced and optimized. And I think this is also important within the development of the upcoming releases of 5G, but also within 6G.
Fascinating. Fascinating. We are coming towards the end of the podcast now, Corinne. Is there any question that I haven't asked that you wish I had, or is there any aspect of this we've not touched on that you think it's important for people to be aware of?
Yeah, I think there's so much around 5G. I think we missed many things, but I would like to invite people who are not in touch with 5G now really to test it. This is every time my work also to say people try it, read about it. Also, if you don't like to invest at the moment, because it's the beginning of a technology, there are not so many end devices there. The prices are high. This will become better with the next years. But try to test it. And we ourselves running a test, but it's an open test. But and this is also a way where you can really experience 5G. You can bring in your own use cases. You can test, like we discussed it before, is Wi-Fi better? Is any low power area network better solution, or is 5G the right technology for my use case? Get the experience, speak with other companies using 5G. This is normally I advise. And I really would like to invite people to visit us in Germany, at least at Clio Candidate Digital, because on the 29th of September, we have an event here in our testbed. It's the 5G Connect. And we have it also online available, where okay. you really can travel through the testbed to many demonstrations from satellite communication via 5G, like V2X, as a vehicle to infrastructure communication and simulation. So I think this is a very good way to experience by yourself what means 5G for our application.
Okay. Can you send me a link for that for people to register? And I'll put that in the show notes. And that brings me to my final question. If people want to know more about yourself or about 5G or Fraunhofer or any of the things we discussed on the podcast today, where would you have me direct them?
I will send you some links because they are very long. At least it's very easy because my name is unique. If you have my name like LOIDL and 5G and you combine it, you will find myself and all the activities of Fraunhofer. So normally this is a very easy way to find our company sites and our research projects we are working on.
Perfect. Brilliant. Karine, that's been really interesting. Thanks a million for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks everyone for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application of choice to get new episodes as soon as they're published. Also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.